This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Well, let's talk to the owner of the Eagles. Obviously, one of the most important figures in the history of Philadelphia sports. The owner of the Birds. Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey, good morning to you, and welcome to BG Day here on WIP.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. Pleasure to be on, and BG, unbelievable.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Lurie. Man, we appreciate you. Hall of Fame owner, baby.
I agree with that. That's right. For real. Well, Jeffrey, so much to get into regarding Brandon's, you know, 15 years and all that, but before we do, let me just say to you and your whole organization, but to you as the guy that, you know, is at the top, congratulations. I mean, what a spectacular journey it's been, especially the, you know, these last eight seasons, but really for the bulk of it, all these playoff appearances. And I congratulate you and I thank you as a Philadelphia sports fan for what you and your group has brought to our culture, because you have made a monumental difference in Philadelphia sports.
Oh, well, thank you for those nice words, but you know, It's who you surround yourself with, and I've been so fortunate between players and everyone working in the organization, coaches, and everyone. I mean, really, honestly, it's just assembling a great group of people who are dedicated, focused, and talented, and it's been a joy, and we're just in the middle of it. That's the beauty of it. We're just in the middle of it.
I love that. I do. Jeffrey, when I say to you Brandon Graham, I ask you, what does Brandon Graham mean to you? What do you say?
Well, it takes a few seconds, but it's so much. BG, you know, I think most people by now know we have an executive position, Director of Joy, and it's performed by a dog, and it's a very important part of the organization, Reggie. But Brandon Graham, more than anyone I can remember, is the giver of energy, the head of joy, the person who you constantly want to be next to, with, working with, talking to. He makes life around him better for everyone who is working with him or gets to know him. And that's rare in life. I mean, to be that much of an energy giver and so talented as, you know, pass rusher, teammate, high motor, all the great things he does in the community. I mean, they're just off the charts. But that to me sticks out, really, guys. That's it's every day at practice, every day in the building, every day, just high energy, joy, brings out the best in everybody around him. I mean, that's rare.
Mr. Lurie, thank you again for joining us. How has your relationship with Brandon grown and changed over the years? 15 years, probably a lot of growing and changing, I would imagine.
Well, you know, I remember when we drafted him, and, you know, we were all really high. Andy was, you know, excited. We traded up. I know everybody was kind of hoping we were trading up for a safety who was also a very good player. And, you know, we're always a good player, but yeah. DG was just a huge, huge part of all of our success. And, you know, such a dedicated kid from Detroit and had to grow into what it was like to be a leader on the team, did early on. But, I mean, pass rush is a tough position in the NFL, as you know, with all those dancing bear tackles, and it's not easy. And, you know, I think just got to know him early and often, and I always wanted to be supportive. But he was his best own support system because he just gave to everybody, so everybody gave back to him, and Andy Reid loved him, and, you know, it was just it evolved because you get to know people, you know, and that's true with, you know, most players on the team. It takes time, you develop the human connection, and you get the most out of each other.
What makes Brandon such a leader?
Well, I think it's his comfort with himself. I think because he's able to totally be natural, no matter what you're doing with him. It's genuine, it's honest, it's not, you know, trying to be something he's not. He's just, and understands football is such a team game that if you give more to your teammates, if you give more to your fellow defensive linemen, you know, you're going to get more out of the whole roster, the whole team. So he's always been a person that epitomizes what we always talk about as an Eagles player, just a giver and selfless. And, you know, he made the greatest defensive play in the history of the franchise. But even if he assisted on that, he would have been just as valuable. But he was, you know, obviously made the greatest play a lot of us have ever seen on defense, and won us a Super Bowl there.
Jeffrey Lurie with us here on WIP on BG Day. So Brandon, we asked, you know, Jeffrey a few minutes ago what you mean to him. Let's reverse it. Brandon, what does Jeffrey Lurie, as the tremendous owner of the Eagles and someone you really care about, because, and you know in part because he cares about you, what does he mean to you?
Man, it means a lot because I know that he was brought into my life for a reason. And, you know, he changed my life with just the belief in that I could help his organization. And just to see the consistency of, you know, his schedule. You see him on Thursdays on, you know, the pass rush days. You see him every week. You know, he was connected to his organization other than, you know, I hear other guys, owners, they don't be a part of, like, you don't see him as often. And so he tries to get to know us, the handshakes before the games, the talks, the building of trust that he's had in me over these years. You know, he's been so much because, you know, you strive to be at that level of, you know, just the confidence he has walking around, knowing that, you know, you trust who you got around you. Like he said, those people that you surround yourself with, if anything, that's what I've learned over the years, watching people in those in higher positions and seeing the consistency of their daily life and what they do. And you don't know everything, but, you know, he definitely has changed my life and means so much to me and inspired me in so many ways. Just from the, you know, just the back and forth, man, Mr. Lurie talking with me, you know, he know me, you know what I'm saying? Like that type of feeling, because it's a lot that people assume with us that, man, we so busy, but man, he takes the time. And so, if anything, that's what it's taught me. And I'm thankful, to have come across it. And then even now, on what we're going to build in the future, because, they ain't done yet. And I want to be a part of that for sure. And, you know, we're going to figure that part out too.
Mr. Lurie, how often have you seen the chemistry between a player and the city transform in such a positive way like it did with Brandon, like it did with Jason? I mean, yeah. we were just discussing that. Both these guys, just this city, it's a success story. How do you best just relate that
well,
concept?
You know, you said it well. I mean, it stands out. There's so many players you don't know. But the ones you do they're just so connected with both the community, their teammates. Jason, BG, they obviously epitomize that. Everyone aspires to that. But some, you know, are just able to pull it off in such a human level. It was natural for Jason, natural for BG. Nobody ever questioned, you know, what were they trying to accomplish? No, they were themselves, and they became so ingrained in Philadelphia and, you know, the Eagles Nation, and just so ingrained in it that you can't even imagine a team, you know, without Jason or BG a big part of it. So it was natural. It was a natural evolution of very special people.
Jeffrey Lurie here on WIP. You know, Jeffrey, one of the things we touched on earlier regarding BG, particularly because he got injured in the final play that he played in Super Bowl 59.
Right.
I mean, it can literally be said he, Brandon Graham, left it all on the field. I mean, all of it.
There is no doubt. And to watch him work to get to that final game Super Bowl, I mean, it was monumental. Nobody had projected that he would be able to return from that injury and be able to play in that game. And, you know, one of the first things I thought of was when we won was Brandon. It was like, wow, this is how it's going to end. And I'm so glad he even got to play in the game and contributed. And it was really heartwarming.
Sure. Unbelievable. And Jeffrey, Mr. Lurie,
You tried there.
That's great.
I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that you and this organization, you do it differently. You focus on character, and yep. In today's NFL, where that's very rarely the case, it's just. How do you do that and still win?
Well, I think it's a reason we do win. You know, it's a grind. It's a tough sport. It's not an easy life being a football player. It's easy to be the star and have it all kind of in front of you there, but it's a grind. So I think our approach and our philosophy has been for a long time. If you're going to grind together, why not grind with people that are top-notch people? And they're givers, basically, selfless. It's like when I, accepted the trophy on the stage. I meant what I said. It was, it's a group of selfless, humble, very talented people. And that's our formula. And, I'm sometimes surprised that others don't prioritize some of those things. We do. It doesn't mean every person's going to be, the perfect human being. We're not looking for that. We're looking for people that are genuine and can develop as human beings. And that's the thing. They're 22 years old when we draft them or younger. And we put a lot into development. We put a lot into the creation of what we think a team that can sustain itself and win big contains. And it's a lot of high character people.
And Jason, I want to bring you in here. Of course, we got Jeffrey on the phone right now. Jason, the grind, the grueling process of being a player, how it beats up your body. You think about it, Jason, all the greats, and you got to be great to get 10 years and more.
Yeah.
The guy seated to your left, Brandon Graham, the most seasons in Eagles history.
Yep.
The most games in Eagles history. I mean, Lane's got a shot to get there. He's got a shot.
Yeah.
But Brandon Graham, in almost 100 years, it is BG with that distinction.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remarkable title to hold. I think really this entire era, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I think it's Brandon, me, and Fletch are all like three in the top four. And like you said, Lane will be there eventually. And I think this speaks to what Jeffrey was kind of just talking about of, we went through four different head coaches. The fact that four guys stayed with the same organization for so long through really turnover and change and trying to reinvent and the way a lot of other organizations would build that, they would kind of start over. They would move on or they would, we're going to rebuild, right? So we're going to move on from these older players. And I think something that Jeffrey, it's really important to him, Brandon epitomizes this, is keeping these people around, whether it's us as players, the coaches that have retained. I mean, Deuce was there forever. Stout stayed through transition. And I think Jeffrey and the organization for years have done a great job of through these changes of keeping these important pieces and some semblance of that culture that has allowed the Eagles to have success and to feel like a tight-knit group and a family and connected to the city. And we inherited that from players that played before us. And I think that's one of the masterful jobs that this organization has done, and Brandon epitomizes who that person is to the organization, and the loyalty and the joy and enthusiasm. I think Jeffrey said it so well of describing not just the player, but the person that Brandon was every single day in that building. And now they're going to, who's going to be the next Brandon? It's going to be really hard to replace. Nobody's going to be the next Brandon.
But you're an example of the next guy behind you can be really good, be his own person.
But they need to be their own person.
Be his own person, and you can still win.
For sure. And I think that, again, like us as players, the only way we live on is through the players that come after us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I certainly take great joy in, I know Brandon will too, is seeing these guys that you were there when they first got there, and they looked up to, like, how do I play for 15 years in Philadelphia? You know what I mean? It's fun to see how that legacy and culture continues to develop. And you know, there's countless of players before us that were there when we were there and before we were there, and it's just been really well done by the organization.
Well, Jeffrey, you know, with everything Jason just said, we thank you for bringing that kind of culture, you know, to our city, and really congratulate you on what you've done. It's and you said it earlier, you know, it's far from over. There's another season obviously up ahead with great possibilities, and we congratulate you on all that you've built here, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for being a huge part of BG Day today. Because, you know, Brandon, when doesn't Brandon have a smile on his face? But with the owner calling in to pay tribute to him.
It's kind of cool because I didn't know it's been that so long since he called in. So I appreciate you. I want to thank you for that. I really do want to thank you for that.
By the way, has there ever been an athlete who is known by his initials, first and last name? And you know, as a sort of amateur observer, I would say it's because everybody wants to be close to this guy, so BG becomes the way to be close to him, or you know, kind of an informal hi to him. And have we ever had an athlete anywhere where it's just first name, last name, initials? I don't remember.
I don't know. Oh, AI, yeah, there's a lot of AI. Yeah, AI.
Okay, AI, yeah. You're right about that.
And also, that's the level we're talking about here in Philadelphia, is AI.
But you have to get to a certain point, to be just two letters. For you to just say two letters and everybody, millions of people know exactly who you're talking about, that's pretty crazy.
And then there's Dr. J, which is a similar sort of thing. And Brandon, you are in that revere. Brandon, you know, when the Phillies were in the World Series a couple years ago, it was you throwing out the first pitch with Dr. J, Bernie Perron, and Mike Schmidt. Think about that, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Bernie Perron, Mike Schmidt, Dr. J, Brandon Graham, BG.
That was cool, man. That was so cool. Got to talk to all them guys. And, Bernie want me to come out to
the boat?
May.
Yeah, the
May
boat.
To, do the fishing.
Love it. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for being a huge part of BG
welcome.
Day.
I have a quick message for John. I miss you. But also, you know what? We're gonna try to quietly resurrect the fullback position. Kevin Turner, yourself, maybe Ben can do some things here. We're gonna try for it. How's that?
Thank you. And I really do think there's a place for the fullback.
Oh, me too.
It's coming back.
We all
will dominate.
We all do.
Yes.
And
I'm
Jeffrey,
excited.
I'll say this because John has said it to me many times privately, and I just want to say it to you on the air. He greatly admires you. Greatly.
Absolutely.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All for your kind words. And BG, love you. And see you soon. And,
we're
going to work at this and make it even better.
Let's go.
All right. Stay well, Jeffrey. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Take care, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There he is, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie.
That was kind of cool.
Wow. That was kind of cool.
That was really cool.
I love the fact that he gave a little fullback hit there.
Me too. I didn't see that coming at all.
Hey, right? The fullback Easter egg?
Hey, right. He's softening y'all up. They ain't going to go so hard on this no more.
Some of those years, of course, spent with another young player at the time who came in a year before Brandon Graham. He was a running back. His name is LeSean McCoy. You know him now as part of the facility on FS1. He's kind enough to give us a few minutes today to talk about his former teammate, Brandon Graham. LeSean, how you doing today, man?
LeSean.
Oh, what's up, guys? I had to call in my guy, Brandon Graham. Good friend of mine. So how y'all doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I'm curious, man, because what do you remember about Brandon in them early Chip Kelly years?
I remember that when he first got there, we was booing because we wanted to get what's the
you talking about Earl?
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas. Stop it! No.
But BG man, I tell you what, he's a great friend, man. Great teammate. I don't know if you never got a chance to play with him. To any viewers out there, man, he was an ultimate teammate. Never had a bad day, man. Always kept the competitive nature great in the locker room and on the field. Tremendous career. I'm not surprised, man. Worked extremely hard. You know, man, always had a chip on his shoulder. And BG, one of my good friends, when I see him, I always tell him, you're going to be great on TV because you're real. You're authentic. You got that personality people love. And you're an eagle for life. So that's BG for you.
Well, Sean, we had BG on for the first half hour of our show today, and he was joking about those early training camp days. Because, you know, you guys, you were like the last ones that had real training camp. They don't have that anymore. I mean, we're talking about Lehigh. We're talking about multiple practices a day. What was it like when you and him, both young guys, you know, 09, 10, when he first got here, back when they used to do real training camp, the ones that Hugh participated in? They don't do those anymore.
Real training camp.
Andy Reid, man. Oh, my God. He's a killer, you know? But it was always good, though, because like I said before, you know, when you got guys in the locker room like myself, like Brandon Graham, you know, when it's the hard days and everybody's tired and irritated and sore, you need guys to bring everybody alive. And that's who BG was. He would make everybody laugh and joke. Even when you're tired and upset and pissed off, you would find ways to make everybody enjoy playing football. And then when you make a game so physical like football fun, that's when you get the best results. And that's what BG was as a teammate. And that's why he's probably one of the most favorite Eagles because of what he did on the field, but also what he did off the field.
LeSean, how long into Brandon's career did you know he was gonna figure it out? Because he had, you know, it wasn't easy for him in the beginning.
He had a rough couple seasons.
Yep, he had some injuries, rough couple seasons. It took him some time, but did you see signs early on that he was going to be a really good player?
No, not at first. I think about his second year, I said, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Because he's short, right, and he ain't like some guy, like even myself, like you look at me, you like, this kid can't really play. He's small, you know, got a little boy body, ain't real big. You look at BG, he's shorter, and then once he got going, he had a motor about him. And I remember our second year in camp, he started putting a lot of them tackles on their asses, right, running through them, you know, getting sacks, causing chaos in practice, and that's when I knew BG was going to be special, right? And the last thing is he's not only is he super strong, he's smart, man, and everybody don't always bring it. We just watched a playoff series with the Clippers. A guy like James Harden, who's so great, he had 7 points because he doesn't bring it, right? BG is different. He's going to bring it every practice, every game, right? If it's the Giants or Cowboys Monday night, or if it's the Jacksonville Jaguars who's not winning, he's going to bring it. And that's why I know that he was going to be a great player, man, and real impactful for our team.
What does it say to you when I say – BG played 15 years all in one uniform, like for one team. What does that say when you hear that to you?
I think of a special individual. You know, you look at like all the great players, some had great stats or you know, some, you know, played with the team forever. And you think about, you need more than just being a good player. You got to be a great person, not only just on the team, but in the front office and in the community. And that's what BG was. I look at one of my best friends, Aaron Donald and Larry Fitzgerald. Those are all Pitt guys. I went to Pitt. And they played on all the same teams. Not just because they were a great player, but they were great to the community, great to the team, great to the fans, right? You got to have all of them things to be on the same, you know, team for 15 years. I'm not talking about 6 years, 5 years, 15 long years, right? Good and bad. He was there when we were losing games, winning games, winning Super Bowls, losing Super Bowls. He was there for all of it. And for you to be there for the same team, right, for your whole career, it shows you what type of special individual you have to be to conquer that.
LeSean, what was it like to play against him? I'm trying to think back. I think you played against Brandon Run.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, the first year you were gone, right? You came back here with Buffalo and you played the Eagles. Brandon was on, well, obviously against you. Did he trash talk you?
Yeah, he don't never stop talking. I mean, God. Down 30, up 30, he's going to talk trash the whole game. He makes it fun. I remember we played them, and I got the ball to the left, and I cut back, right, because you know I like to cut back. And I made like a jump cut, and I shook him, right? I made him miss, and I slipped. And then somebody tackled me, and I remember he was like talking trash, yelling. And then he got close to me, saying, damn, boy, you almost got me. So now BG was fun to play against, play. He was fun to play with. He was just special though, you know. And I see his career and how it unfolded, man. I'm happy how everything unfolded for him. You know, getting hurt this last season and find a way to play and then win a championship and right off on the sunset. That's a storybook ending right there,
yeah,
man.
No question about that. For real.
LeSean, what was it like for you? I know you were still in the league at that point, still an active player. What was it like for you when you watched Brandon make that play to help the Eagles win the Super Bowl in 2017? I'm sure he probably had mixed emotions as, you know, being a guy that was here, but you a lot of your teammates, including Brandon, was on the side of that thing. What was it like for you to watch him have that moment?
That's the weird thing. Like, when you're a real Eagle, man, you love your teammates. I remember times where I was cheering for them dudes, man, and hoping he would do well. Super Bowl. They play against Tom Brady. I'm cheering for the Eagles. And when Brandon Graham made that sack, I was so excited because, you know, if you can't do it, you want your boys to do it. And I know how much that Brandon puts into his work and his craft. And to see that, man, Michigan, going against Michigan on that big stage, making that type of sack, that's what makes legends, right? And that's why we're having this conversation today about Brandon Graham, because plays like that. So I was always happy for him, even watching him, you know, even playing with him, like, this is some guys you really care about. You know, Fletcher Cox, another guy. I can name a million of them dudes I played with that I had genuine love for, and he's one of them for sure. So I always rooted good for Brandon Graham. And another thing is, like, you know, sometimes you play with players, man, they're good players, and that's just it. Like, after you take a shower and you leave the locker room, you probably won't talk to them. And he's not that. Brandon's type of dude I'm always talking to. He had a great family, great kids, great wife. He's an all-around good person. And you always want to align yourself with people like that.
There's no question. He was. And if it felt like every locker room he was in, every team he was on, he had a positive impact. LeSean, and, you know, we were talking to him earlier about it. It was choppy for him in the beginning, and he had to overcome that. It felt like he was able to channel the negativity and make it a positive. Not every player could do that, LeSean.
They can't. And he didn't start out very good. That's the truth. He wasn't like killing it like that. Oh, my God, we got this bona fide first rounder. He had to really earn it and work for it. And some guys, there's two type of people I always say. There's guys that's like, hell yeah, things ain't going wrong. Or they're not going right. Hell yeah, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Extra film study, working harder, more weight room. And there's other guys like, oh, damn. He wasn't them guys where things ain't going right. They're always pouting and making excuses. And that wasn't Brandon Graham. So everything that he's getting, man, he deserves it because he went through all the bad to get to the good.
Well, he did, and he had a great career. Over 200 games, 2 championships, played in 3 Super Bowls. LeSean, we appreciate you making a few minutes for us today. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be watching your show as we always do. And thank you for joining us on BG Day.
All good, fellas. Happy to talk to you all again, man.
Hey, have a good one, man.
There he goes. LeSean McCoy, Eagles great, joining us about his teammate. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on BG Day tonight. BG Live at the Colonial Theater. We're going to be out at the Great American Pub in Phoenix. Well, that's where the afternoon show is going to be, doing their show before BG Live. And then obviously everyone meeting up for a great event tonight. And it's been Brandon Graham stories and Brandon Graham appreciation on the station all day long. And joining us next to talk about Brandon Graham, a guy that had a chance to watch him become a great leader in Philadelphia. And before him, he was a great leader in Philadelphia. Brian Dawkins joins the Midday Show right now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
All right, and you, man. How you been, man? I ain't talked to you in a while.
I'm good, dog. I'm good, man. You, what was the first thing that I asked you? And you remember the first time I asked you about you told me it's going to be a BG Day?
Oh, yeah, talk about us on Cinco de Mayo, we're going to do crack jokes or something. It's a roast.
Does he speak a lick of Spanish, man?
Oh, yeah. No, he does not. But I told you, remember I told you, I said we just changed because it's a play on 5-5, May 5th. 5-5.
I can dig it.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
I can dig it. What's that guy for me?
Doc, what was it like for you watching the career of Brandon Graham and really watching him become a leader and a guy that you know moved up the charts all time in the most games played ever here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, if you go back to the post that I posted, you know, when he decided to retire, I just talked about the story that's going to be told about a smallish defensive end that was considered to be a bust by many who have gone on to be, you know, one of the legends to play in Philadelphia and to be known for the sack. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the script, the sack. So to me, that speaks the volumes to any of young people out there who are ascribing to be something that, you know, just because you start off a specific way. And he also talked about it, his own story, about his mind changing. So his mindset changed about what he needed to do to be better than he was the first couple of years. And then that's when it happened. He became BG, the smiling assassin.
I like that nickname from you. That's a good one.
That's pretty cool. But Brian, my question was this, because we know, and I was a part of when you left Philadelphia and you went to Denver, and I know for a fact you never wanted to leave. So what does it say to you, or how does it make you feel when you know that BG played here for 15 seasons?
Well, I love it for him. I absolutely, and that's the way it's supposed to be, yeah, in my opinion, when you have a person to play the way that he's played and love the city the way he loves it and is willing to stay around and do what he needs to do from that standpoint in the community as well. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I wish it would have happened. A couple of years prior, but it did. But for BG, I'm just so happy that it's happened for him because he's also such a good dude, man. Good dude.
Brian, what does it tell you about a player that, and you did it too, that plays that long? Like, what does it take? What did it take for you? What do you think it took for him? Because it's just so rare. I mean, obviously, Hugh mentioned he played his whole career here, but just the longevity, whether it's here or anybody anywhere else. What is that like to last in the NFL that long? It's so rare. I mean, the average career is what, 3-4 years? I mean, you lasted 16, Brandon lasted 15. What does that say about a player when they can go that far into their career?
Wow. I mean, obviously, there's some gifts in there as well, right? We're gifted to be able to do things, play the game a specific way with talents and the like. But it also, you have to take care of your body, man. That's one thing that I was very keen on, taking care of my body. The way that I still lift today is because I took care of my body when I was playing the game back then. And BG is a similar way, man. He takes care of himself. And then also, I would say that there's a routine that you get into that you know you have to do things a specific way in the off season. There is no off season for someone who's playing in the National Football League, in my opinion, because you always in a mindset that you have to continue to stay working, stay moving. Even when you're resting, it has to be an active rest, the way that I see it. And to me, that's one of the things that you would see BG constantly working on his body, what he puts in his body for the most part. And to me, if you look at the guys who play long periods of time, that would be across the board. A guy's knowing how to work, knowing how to recover properly, and knowing how to take care of the body.
Brian Dawkins joining us here on the Midday Show on Brandon Graham Day 5-5. It is Cinco de Mayo. We're going to be celebrating Brandon Graham all day here.
He don't speak a lick of Spanish.
That's
either.
All right. You know what? Today we all do. We should ask if we see him tonight. Brandon, be real. You speak any Spanish? Brian, let's go back to this past year with the Eagles doing what they did and winning the Super Bowl. What was it like for you to watch the year that Brandon had? Because when the year started, I mean, we didn't know how much he was going to play. We knew he was coming back for his last season, but the Eagles had signed Bryce Huff, and they had drafted Nolan Smith and Jalik Sinai. We weren't sure, like, was he just going to play a little bit? But boy, Brian, he was still a huge part of the defense. Then he gets hurt, and he comes back and he plays in the Super Bowl. I mean, what a story in his final year on top of everything else.
Man, you couldn't have written it no better. Like, seriously. Drama right at the end. Oh, he's hurt. Oh, no. It's over for him. And all of a sudden, he rises back up, plays in the last game, and they win the Super Bowl. So now he rides off into the sunset, right? I mean, you can't write it any better. But as far as the season is concerned, man, it would be one thing if we had seen Brandon not being able to, you know, be BG, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see that. I didn't see. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I was a little jealous because he was balling. Hey, against the Rams. Hey, he was balling against the Rams. Now I was like, damn. Wish I could do that.
Yeah, so you should have said so. It was there. Like, and you heard Vic even say it. Like, you know, I guess he was joking around. You know, I'm not going to let you retire because you're still so productive. So again, it wasn't like he couldn't do it. So for him to get hurt, and you know, I thought it might have been over as well. But there was some chirps that he would be able to come back. And so I'm happy that he was able to come back, and even though he tore it again, but it don't matter. They won the ring.
Brian, watching him both closely and from afar, what do you think made him such a good leader? Because that everyone we've talked to today and every one of his teammates that chimed in the last few months after his announcement, they all seem to point to not just a really good player for a long time, but also someone that just made the team better just by his personality and being around. What do you think made him such a good leader?
One thing I would say is I don't think BG has ever had a bad day. Like, yeah. When you walk in, like, his smile, and I'm not talking about the first couple of years. First couple of years, there's a lot of bad days, I guess. But after that, going into the transformation into the person that we're talking about now, like, he's always upbeat, always smiling. Even when certain things are not the way that he would want them to be, he still have a positive mindset about it. And that's contagious, right? That type of person is contagious that you want to be around. And so he's also the type of dude in practice that, you know, he jokes all the time. And somebody on this phone or on this call right now used to joke all the time in practice too. And what that does, though, it lightens the mood. Like, even though you're grinding and grinding things out, when you have guys around like that with those type of personalities, like, it lightens things up. And, you know, you don't feel the pain quite as much as you would. And then he was also someone that's very outspoken as it pertains to stepping or asking someone what's going on, right? He's going to be the type of teammate that if he sees something going on, that he's going to, you know, come sit beside you and want to talk to, you know, see if he can help in some type of way. And that's always a great thing.
Well, it is, especially the light in the mood thing. I mean, I feel like you need that in the locker room.
It sounds like
you were the one doing that back in the day.
Well, no, we used to have fun, man. It was like, you know, we had a very, very unique locker room. And you know, you could tell stories about – see, Doc didn't say a whole lot during the week because he was too busy moving around like an old man. But, boy, when he put that helmet on, it was like Jekyll and Hyde, boy. Speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, Doc, since we're here now. So who came up with the Hawaiian-themed Brian Dawkins Impact Golf Tournament thing? Who came up with that?
That was me, man.
So you just want us to wear Hawaiian? See, we got to wear Hawaiian shirts, Joe.
You have one ready to go?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. Okay. Hey, listen, I bought Tommy Bahama shirts years ago.
Just for this.
So listen.
Bring them out.
So when Ike told me, because you know, I barely pay attention to my email. I don't even open my email here at work. Ike said, yeah, man, it's a Hawaiian thing. I said, get out of town. I bought these shirts about 30 years ago. I'm going to go ahead and break one of these suckers out. But I can't wait to golf tournament.
So let me give you the inside scoop on that. So the reason why I did it, you know, is because we who have gone to the Pro Bowl actually went across the water.
Uh-huh.
The Pro Bowl, right? And I remember the feeling of that. I remember of going to the Pro Bowl and, you know, going to the Ihalani. And the feeling of it, the vibe of the whole thing, the feeling of the whole event.
Yes.
And so I said, you know what? I want to see if I can allow people to escape and feel, give people a little bit of feeling of what we felt going to Hawaii, going to the Pro Bowl. So that's really where the theme came in. And that's what the event is going to be about. We're going to try our best to kind of put things around the compound to allow people to escape from their daily walks to be able to come experience what the food and the atmosphere was that I felt at the Pro Bowl.
So there will be a lay at the golf tournament?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna get a lay.
Okay,
get a couple of them.
All right, Hugh. You got the Hawaiian shirt, you got the lei, the luau, and you got the golf. Brian, it's coming up, what, June 1st and 2nd, right? The Penn Oaks Golf Club?
June 1st and 2nd. Yep. And there's still tickets available for the island feel is what we call
the island feel.
The island feel.
The island feel.
I like that. Good stuff. Brian, we appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you for being part of the Brandon Graham Day here on WIP.
Absolutely. Y'all be blessed, man.
Hey, have a good one,
there
man.
There he goes. Dawkins with us, Brian Dawkins, about his golf tour. You were very mature. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you kind of veered off a little bit there.
And you see, he kept it focused.
Well, because he knows how to deal with you. I mean,
why are you looking at me like that, Kyle?
Because this is what we have to deal with every day.
Coach Doug Peterson joins us now for BG Day. Coach, thank you for giving us some of your time today.
Oh, you bet. I'm honored to call in and talk a little bit about BG.
Dougie P, what's up, brother?
What is going on, man?
you know what, Doug, Jack and I were talking earlier. We never think about the fact that you and Ike were actually teammates for a year. do you have any, before we get to BG, do you have any Ike memories as the player, Ike?
Ike was a stud, man. He was obviously a great linebacker, good special teams player, just an all around great teammate, man. Didn't have a great year that first year, but man, we had some fun times.
We did, Coach. I appreciate the kind words. Don't let them bait you into telling you anything.
Well, you never know. You know.
I'll keep it above board.
Yeah, for now. So, yeah. Coach, you know, do you still? You know, you as part of the you know, legendary team, the first Eagles team to win the Super Bowl, do you still run into Eagles fans here and there? And if so, like, what is that experience like for you?
You know, living down here in Jupiter, Florida, there's a ton of Eagle fans around this city and around this part of the country down here. And whether, you know, playing golf or just out in the community having dinner, you're always going to run into an Eagles fan or somebody that's visiting down here. And they're very appreciative of that first Super Bowl. And they bring up a lot of great memories. In fact, my wife and I were just in Philadelphia this past weekend for a wedding. And we stayed downtown there. It was fun. It was fun to run into a lot of fans and people remembered that first one and you feel proud, you feel honored to have represented that city and that organization to get them that championship and it's very special to me.
What was it like for you, Coach, to watch this team this past year? Obviously they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago and lost to Kansas City, but watching this team this year, Saquon being here, watching Jalen have the year he had. Did you draw anything from watching this team this year win it to the way you guys did it back in 17?
Yeah, you know, obviously I brought the Jaguars there, I think, in week three this past year and played an Eagles team that we felt early in the season, if you're going to beat this team, you got to beat them early. And they ultimately, you know, won that game that day. But, you know, I saw the improvement watching them all season long and how Jalen really, I think Jalen took that team from a leadership standpoint on his shoulders and led that football team. Now the addition of Saquon was tremendous and having that type of run game that they had. I just think they learned from, you know, the Super Bowl that they lost a couple years ago. And those guys were hungry. They were determined. You know, Nick did a great job of just leading that team as well, just the right guys had the right guys there, and you know, obviously today is BG Day, and he was one of those guys, you know, mm-hmm. that could lead that football team, and just like he did in 17-18 when we won the championship that year.
Yeah, and we'll get to you with BG. I want to ask you one quick thing about Jalen because you just mentioned him. You guys drafted him back in 20. watching Jalen develop from his early days as a rookie to you seeing where he's at now. He's been to the Super Bowl twice and now has won a Super Bowl. I guess I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase the question, but I know you got to be happy. I wanted to say proud, but how happy are you to watch his development at the quarterback position and what he has become since you guys saw what you saw on him back in 2020?
You know, for me, there's no surprise. There is no surprise for me that he's been able to lead that team, that organization. You know, obviously the success they've had to win a championship. It's the same things we saw and what I saw in him coming out of college, whether he was at Alabama, Oklahoma. You know, he's got a pedigree that is a winning pedigree, and he's the type of guy and type of player that's going to put in the hard work, the things you talk about as a coach. He's the one that does it, and you know, the guys respond to that, and they appreciate that from him. And just watching him grow the last couple of years, and you know, again, let's just talk about Saquon and Jalen Hurts together. I mean, that's what a quarterback wants, right? A quarterback wants the running game where you don't have to put it on your shoulders to win it every game throwing the football. And that's what the Eagles did this past year, and it took a lot off of Jalen, but at the same time, when the plays needed to be made, he made them. And that's what champions do. That's what winners do. And that's who Jalen is.
Talking to former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson on BG Day. Doug, to talk to you about Brandon Graham, I want to ask you first about the player on the field, and then we can talk about what he was like, you know, as a leader off the field. On the field, what do you remember best about Brandon as a player for you?
I think the biggest thing for me as the head coach, you know, for the 5 years that I was there, was the fact that he was available every single day, meaning he showed up to work every single day, ready to practice, ready to get better, ready to lead his football team, and would do anything you'd ask him to do. If we needed somebody to play special teams, he could play special teams. That's what he did early in his career. If he had to play, you know, a three technique or a shade, he could do that. If you put him out on an end, come off the edge, he could do that. I mean, just a selfless individual, put his teammates first over himself, and that's who he is. That's the type of player you want to build an organization around. And BG epitomized that. And that's what I appreciate about him, was the fact that every single day he was the same guy, and he had a smile on his face. I mean, you guys know him. He had a smile on his face. He was, you know, joking around. He was having a good time at practice or during games, and he loved to talk, and that's who he is, and that's what I remember the most about him.
The funny thing about BG is he'll have a smile on his face even when he's mad.
Yeah.
You know, exactly, like that. Right. There will be opportunities where he is pissed off, but he's still doing it with a smile on his face. So he has figured
exactly
out the way to deliver that. It does seem, too, as his career has gone on, he has taken on more and more of a leadership role, you know, not just with his contemporaries, but with young players as well. Did you see that developing in the half a decade you were here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, that's the type of player that he is. He was always teaching and leading the young guys. You know, we had Josh Sweat as a young player, you know, coming in. And you know, Derek Barnett was a young player at the time, the year we won the Super Bowl. These guys like that. And just over the course of the 5 years that I was there, just watching BG really embrace these guys and lead them. And showing them what it's like to be a professional athlete and what it takes, and you know, the sacrifice it takes, and just a great person that way, with some of those young players that you bring onto your team, and watching his career, you know, obviously close up and then again from afar, he's the same, you know, he's the same person day in, day out.
And, Doug, you got to see BG from when they drafted him. So you saw him early in his career as you was a part of Coach Reed's staff back then. You got to see him young and develop into the player that he became when you got a chance to coach him. His maturity level and his leadership and that development from a coach's perspective, the importance of, I guess, those are some of the qualities you see in a player when you draft them, but I would imagine being able to stick with a player and believing in those qualities and traits in a guy is a little bit rewarding for a coach when you watch those things develop in him the way they did in BG. BG had some traits in him early that I'm sure the staff saw in him, but to watch him those things develop as career went on, I'm pretty sure that had to be rewarding as a coach to see.
Yeah, Ike, it was great to see as a coach. You know, you remember early back in his early days too. I mean, there were days when, you know, sometimes you wouldn't think he was going to make it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, things were stacked against him a little bit early in his career, and you know, but here's a guy that continued to work and really, as you mentioned, mature and grow as an athlete, grow as a person, not only on the field but off the field as well, with the leadership, you know, obviously there. And then I get a chance to come back as the head coach and coach him as a head coach and just see the growth and the maturity and the level of professionalism that BG, you know, brought to the team. And you know, the 5 years that I was there, just watching that and then just continuing to watch. And then I've had, you know, when I was in Jacksonville, you know, we had two opportunities to come back and play the Eagles and to see him from the other sideline. He's the same guy. And he's battled adversity, you know. You don't get to the top, you don't win championships without adversity, and he's battled it physically and obviously mentally and emotionally and all that. But again, he's worked himself into that type of player, and so his career is what the city of Philadelphia is. It's what the Eagles organization is, and you know, he's been great at it his entire career.
Doug Peterson with us, former Eagles head coach. Let me take you back to the Super Bowl and the strip sack itself. Now, I remember the first time I was on an NFL field during the game on the sideline. I was stunned at how little you can see, like on the sideline, because you don't think, when you're watching on TV or in the stands, you see everything. But when you're on the field, everything's flat. It's very hard to see, you know, across the sideline or whatever. When the strip sack happened, did you see it? Did you just know what happened based on the result, like the reaction from everybody? What was that moment for you?
Well, initially, I didn't realize that BG had jumped inside and got over the guard. That was the first thing I did not see that. I was, you know, obviously hearing the defensive call and making sure the guys were, you know, in the right spots and all that. But then when the ball was snapped being an offensive coach, you kind of watch kind of the offensive team and how the play kind of develops against the defense. That's just where my eyes typically go. But there was a flash in the backfield, and next thing I saw, I looked back and Tom was getting hit, and it was BG that got the strip sack. He a great move on the guard and was able to get himself back there and get his hand, you know, get his hand on Tom's arm and knock that ball loose. And then Derek Barnett was able to pick it up and big turnover, and obviously, you know, helped us win that game. But huge play. I mean, huge play in that game where BG was able to use his athleticism, his strength, his power, his size at that time to really, you know, push the pocket and get an edge and eventually, you know, get the ball out of Tom's hands.
A regular debate on this show, Coach Peterson, this is very important. Is regular debate on this show is what is the bigger play, the Philly special or the strip sack? Now, if I had to ask you, Doug Peterson, Coach Doug Peterson of that team, what was the bigger play?
Are those
what
the
would
only
your
two
answer
plays
be?
I get to pick?
Well, those are the only two. We're only giving you those two.
You know, I would throw in a third. I would throw in the other fourth and one at like the minus 35-yard line.
Yes, big decision,
where
buddy.
Where we hit Ertz for a first down.
Yeah.
that went on to we went on to score that drive and give us the lead. But you know, honestly, the Philly special is a great play, and it's going to go down in history as one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. And I'm very proud of that and the way the team, you know, rallied and the way we executed. But really, I think in the biggest moment to really ice our game, in that moment, you gotta look at that strip sack and what happened. You know, it led to a field goal, which put us up 8 points. And so, you know, with under 2 minutes to go in that football game. So to me, you know, as coaches, we talk to players all the time. You never know when the play is coming to you. Make the plays that come your way. And BG made a play that came his way. Now, the Philly special, those guys made a play as well. So I'd have to go BG, strip sack, one, and then a close 1A Philly special.
I like it.
I have the other side. I have the other side. Coach.
That's the quarterback.
I got a defensive guy sitting in the room. There, so I have to go with the defense. Come on.
I like it.
Coach, just a quick question personally. You know, the NFL coach lifestyle seems absolutely excruciating to me. I mean, it is just it's just a constant cycle of coaching and tape and preparation and it never ends. Are you able to take this time and, like, breathe a little bit, like, not being in that cycle for the first time in a very long time?
You know, we just came through the NFL draft, and I wanted to put on tape and watch college players and you know, this, that, and the other, but I was able to also just kind of pull away and relax and just kind of enjoy it, just look at it from afar and just watch everything kind of unfold and probably look at it more from a fan's perspective, I think, than anything else. You know, you're right. The coaching profession is not easy. You know, the hours are long during the regular season and you put in a lot of time to try to win a football game and then obviously coach the guys, you know, during the week, and get them prepared that way as well. And, you know, and the biggest thing too that I can appreciate with the teams in Philadelphia and even the teams in Jacksonville for me is that, you know, players can see through coaches, right? And I always wanted to be one of those coaches that was very honest and open and transparent and you know, roll up my sleeves and go to work with those guys. And if they can believe in that and you give them a constant message each and every day, you know, they're going to fight for you. And that team in, you know, 2017-18 to win that championship, it was a great football team that way. They fought for each other. They fought for me. They fought for that coaching staff, the organization. And much like the team this past year, you know, you could see it, you know, with that Eagles team, how they pulled for one another and played for one another and ultimately won a championship again. So it is a grind, but this time of year has been good to just step away and spend time with family and, you know, enjoy our grandbabies and, you know, see what comes next for myself.
Now that I think there must have been a
grandbabies.
You're not old enough for grandbabies. Come on, man.
Well, hold on. I got
oh, babies. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Easy over there.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Welcome to the granddad club.
Yeah.
There you go.
Coach.
We're getting old.
Yep.
If you don't mind me asking, when Carson got hurt that year, there must have been some doubt inside of you that you guys could still achieve that ultimate goal. How do you get past that? Like, how do you move on and just say, we still have a job to do?
You know, that was a tough moment for the football team. Because Carson was playing extremely well that year and was having a heck of a season, you know, and was obviously in the conversation for MVP and all that year. And I think that was like, you know, gosh, I think it was like week 12 or 13. I think we won that game in LA and I think we went to 11-2 after that. But you know what? I think it's part of the, for me, why that team is so special, how they rallied around each other. And it was always, as you know, I mean, you've heard that before, it's always the next man up mentality. And the guys, you know, we lost Jason Peters that year. We lost Chris Maragos that year. We lost Darren Sproles that year. You know, Jordan Hicks that year. We lost and then Carson Wentz. So we lost five key players that season, and still go on, you know, to win a championship. And the guys rallied around Nick Foles. Nick did a great job coming in and controlling the offense and leading the football team. But it wasn't about one guy. You know, it was about the entire football team. And we had some great leaders that year. And I think that's what makes it so special for me as the coach, being around a team that just gave of themselves, you know, for each player. And we were ultimately able to get it done.
Well, Coach, it was a great moment. I oftentimes tell this story. I was lucky enough to be at the ring ceremony because my dad made me his plus one. And after, I think it was after the rings, there was a line for ice cream. And I'll never remember, I'll always remember seeing you in line, because I was in line as well for ice cream, and looking at you and saying, that is the happiest guy in the world. He just won the Super Bowl. He's in line. He got his ring. He's in line for ice cream. What a moment. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody happier in my life, Coach, than you were
in
that moment.
Two of my most favorite things, right? Ring and ice cream.
Yeah.
I was happy that night, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Well, Coach Peterson, we appreciate you coming on today to talk about Brandon Graham and that year. And you're always a hero around here, man. So we appreciate it quite a bit.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Coach.
There he is. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's BG Day. We are at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville for the BG Live pre-party. Joining us now to talk about BG Super Bowl champion, Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. Coach Sirianni, so glad you joined us today. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Wouldn't miss it. How y'all doing?
What's up, Coach? How's your offseason going?
How you doing?
How's the offseason been going for you?
It's been going good. Yeah, getting back into it with the players being back in. It's always exciting to get them back into it and just trying to find ways how we can get better.
That's what I'm talking about.
Coach, was there anything – now, you won the friggin' Super Bowl, man. Was there anything you did for yourself that said, you know what, I deserve this? Like, you know, did you go somewhere? Did you buy some little treat for yourself for winning the Super Bowl?
No, shoot, we had to get right back to work. I had a coordinator to replace Kellen Moore and then a couple of guys that he took with him. So we got right back into it. So, when you're at this spot and you're just thinking about all the ways you can continue to get better. And because I know this, everybody we play this year is going to be hey, if we don't protect the ball against the Philadelphia Eagles, or if we don't tackle good against the Philadelphia Eagles, if we don't break tackles against the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, it's going to be hard to beat them. So we're trying to find out ways that we can get better at tackling, and we can get better at taking the ball away, and we can get better at, you know, making yards after catch and things like that. So, you know, that's where our mindset's been from. We enjoyed the parade. All right, so
there you
on that, and it's just that mindset to get back to work and try to continue to do the good thing.
Well, we saw you at the parade, Coach Sirianni, and your speech. Honestly, I was like, this guy means business. I like this guy. He means business. In out, thanked everyone. It was great. So great answer.
Thank you.
So, Coach, talking about Brandon Graham today. You know, when you became head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, how important was having guys like BG in there as leaders and as veterans there to help you sort of set the culture that you wanted to set as head coach?
Yeah, you know, I think you guys have heard me talk about that an awful lot. Like, I was different than a lot. Like, I was in a different scenario than a lot of other head coaches, right? I had four guys with Brandon and with Lane and with Jason and with Fletch. Of guys that, I mean, what first-year head coach has four guys on the offense and defensive line that have played 10-plus years? And so, obviously, those guys and Brandon were just so, so important to that, you know, and they know how to win. They, you know, they know the things that it takes. So, and then to have those guys, you know, preaching what you're preaching, and, I mean, that's huge. That's huge for any coach, and just feel so appreciative to them. On those things, and man, what a great core group of guys I was able to inherit. It's just awesome. Just awesome. And BG's, you know, as we know, we're doing this. You guys are doing an awesome thing for him today and the whole day. devoted towards him, and been saying enough good things about him as we're about to hear today.
I tell you, Coach, listening to you talk about the importance of having those guys as players when you came in as coach and throughout your tenure, just it had me reflecting back on your run here as head coach. And there's been up and downs. Your first year got off to a little bit of a slow start. Then, you know, I thought you made an impassionate speech and plea about your team, talking about fertilizing and planting that soil. Now, not to poke fun at it, I mean being legit thinking about it now, because you had veterans like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, that I mean, really came out in support of you and have always sort of had your back. And I think having those type of veterans sort of echo your message, I think helped us as fans and those of us on the outside sort of at least try to be patient and understanding with the type of coach that you were, because your players were clearly saying how much you meant to them. Mm-hmm. We just didn't understand it. And it's guys like Brandon that I think helped a lot of us come along to appreciating you as a head coach and what you mean to that locker room and to your players. So hearing you talk about Brandon and some of the other vets, I think it's big when a coach comes in and those veteran players are there to support him.
Yeah, no doubt. And that helps with not just on the outside, who's not there every single day, right? But on the inside too, like on the inside of the building, right, with all the players, like, yeah. You know, and so it was dual important for both sides, you know, the outside world and the inside world to have the support of those guys. And, you know, again, just unbelievable people, unbelievable players, obviously. You know, there's so many times I wish people knew on the outside what good people we have too, you know, because – you know, we're in a business, you know, a results business, right? And I get that, but like, man, when you win and when you win big, it takes more than talent. It takes, and I say this about BG all the time. Like, you don't play, like, you know this. Like, you don't play in the NFL for 15 years on talent alone. That just doesn't happen,
yep.
Right? It takes all the special stuff. It takes the guys. You know, exactly the guys that we were looking for in the draft, the guys that love football, the guys that have high football IQ, the guys that are tough, the guys that are selfless, right? Those are the guys, God willing, reach their full potential. And that's exactly, you know, I've said it so many times. Like, I remember putting on tape one of my favorite, you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to say it anyway. One of my favorite BG plays, maybe my favorite BG play. You know, you got, and I get it. I wasn't here in 17, so I can't say, you know, the Super Bowl sack, right?
Yeah.
But it was a heck of a play. But my favorite BG play was in Dallas, against Dallas at home in 2023. It's a 2-point conversion. We're up 23-28, and Dak breaks the pocket. And here comes BG, who he was inside on a stunt. And
yeah.
Here comes BG flying, relentless effort on his pursuit, flying to stop Dak from scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it appeared that he scored, and the referee gave him a touchdown. But he stepped out of bounds, if you guys remember, on
yep.
like the 2-yard line because of this pursuit by Brandon. And long story short, right? They get the ball back. They're driving. They need a touchdown to win, and we end up keeping them out of the end zone. Where a point they would have been able to kick the field goal had they got that 2-point conversion. And so and I you know, that's my favorite play that Brandon. You know, I could have picked many sacks that he had. I could have picked I could have picked the Super Bowl sack that he had against Tom Brady. But the one I'm thinking of is this effort play that I just explained, and why. Well, one, it was a huge time, it was a big time play. But for every guy to be able to, for me to be able to put on the tape and say, and slow it down and be like, guys, you don't play 15 years in the NFL on talent alone. Watch the extra stuff that makes it happen. And for everybody to see that and for it to, you know, show up and end up helping us win a football game, like, I have no better. Like, I'm a guy who likes to show a lot of different athletes, like, making plays and why they made the play and this and that. But I got Brandon sitting right there, you know, BG sitting right there in this film session watching this, and the guys are able to see that. Like, what a great thing to be able to teach the entire team on, hey, man, this is how it's supposed to be done, and it helped us win a game. And shoot, what a great example to all the guys and coaches and players in that room.
Coach, we've talked about BG, and so many people brought up different plays and different moments that they think.
Has anyone brought up that one yet?
No, nobody's brought that one up.
Oh, good, that was original.
Yep, that was original. And
how many guys brought up the Super Bowl sack?
Well, yeah, just about everybody.
Yeah.
That's certainly one. But I wanted to get your thoughts on coaching BG and being around him behind the scenes, right? Not on game day. I'm talking about throughout the week, practice every day. Now, I played with a guy who I work with now, Hugh Douglas. Like, Hugh was our energy rabbit at practice. He brought all the excitement. He was the guy who had the energy every day, said stuff to keep people laughing.
This is what you did, Coach.
We're in a bar right now.
Yeah.
but I know BG off the field also had to be great for you to coach and have as a player of yours. How much are you going to miss having him out at practice every day to keep things lively and keep things going?
Yeah. I've said this, right? I've said if every company, every business, everybody needs a BG because – man, he just – one of my favorite things to kind of explain to you guys how ready he was every single day is anytime we had pads on, right? Anytime we had pads on, you know, if it was a Wednesday in the season or training camp, he's at that team meeting first thing in the morning with his pads on, his lowers. He had his thigh pads in. He had his hip pads in. He had his knee pads in. He had his butt pad in. He had it all. I'm like, man, this guy's ready. I love this about him. He is ready to go. Like, don't be around him and not be ready to go. He's going to be ready to go. And, man, and that's just a quick story about that. But, like, he's always, you know, you can't have a bad day around him. Like, he's always smiling. He's always, and on top of that, he's always bringing people up. He has a great sense about him of, hey, this guy's going through a hard time. Hey, this guy's, you know, going through a struggle, you know, he's talked about it, right? I've been through that struggle. Let me help you, and let me tell you what helped me when I went through that. Like, what an example. What an example that he was for the entire building in that aspect, because, shoot, we all come in and have a bad day here and there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Hey, even football players, you guys are playing football and coaching football for a living. Yeah, I know it's awesome, but there's times that you come in, you're having a bad day, it's just as if, you know, he never did, and I know he did, but he was able to, you know, have that smile on his face, and what a humble leader to be able to lead guys when they're going, and that's what I always will remember is him going, you know, guys going through a hard time, and him really trying to reach out and help those guys. But the main thing, like, when you asked that question, was him coming in in the morning with his pads on, and I love that. I love that about BG. He had a long time before practice would start, too, and he still had them damn pads on.
I feel like you might wear them to the event tonight. You never know. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni with us. Coach, so BG comes back for what this past year, for what we all felt like would be his final year, and I don't think any of us, at least from our perspective, looked ahead and said, you know, BG's going to play half the snaps. And for, you know, the first half of the year, may even be the best edge on the team. Were you surprised, I guess, at how good he was this year until he had that injury?
You know, no, because, you know, I know who he is, and I know the work that he puts into it. And, no, nothing that he does on the field ever surprises me because, you know, Ike, like you said, like, I get to see him every day. Like, you guys get to see him on Sunday and a little bit of practice, right, when the media's out there. But I get to see him on a daily basis all day, right? And so when you got a guy that's putting in the work that he does and is the type of leader he is, and, you know, that doesn't surprise you because, you know, what you do in private's going to be seen in public, good or bad. And he always brought it every single day. And, man, he Coach Walsh always says you got to earn the right to pass rush. Right? What does that mean? That means that you got to stop the stinking run on first and second down to earn the right to pass rush. And man, does that guy earn the right to pass rush? Like the way he played, and that's what I think really sticks out to me. The way that he played this year is, man, how awesome he was against the run, right? And stop and pushing a tight end back. That matchup never worked out for the guys when they put the tight end one-on-one with BG and he walks him back, or the guard pulls, and he crushes the edge. Like, that man earned the right to pass rush every single game, and that's what, from this season, really stood out to me, is the way he, did that. And Nolan Smith, right, obviously had a great year. But when Nolan's seeing, hey, this is how this guy plays the edge every single time, and you see Nolan do it, like, what a great example for us as coaches to be, hey, watch how BG sets the edge. And then, boom, hey, now look at it. Now look how Nolan's setting the edge. Like, I mean, and so that's what really sticks out to me with how he played this year 15. And shoot, man, when he, sometimes, obviously injuries happen in this game, and it takes a lot, we're so close to these players, right? We focus so much on team. And so when a guy like BG, it gets hurt, and it takes everything for you as a coach, like in that LA Ram game, to not break down for him, right? And I ended up running in the locker room just to be there for him for a second, but so I know that was tough that he had to go through that, but man, he got himself back. That's the type of guy he is.
Well, he tears the triceps, and everybody has Google, and I look up the the recovery time, and there's just, in my head, there's no way Brandon Graham is ever coming back. Did it ever sneak into your head that there would be a point at which Brandon Graham would return this season?
I knew if somebody could do it, it'd be him. That's what I will say. We try to take everything. I know this sounds cliche, but we try to take everything game by game, day by day. But when they said, and I didn't really think about it until a couple weeks into it, when they said, if we make it this far, he got a chance. And I know BG told me about that a couple hundred times after that. And if anybody had a chance to do it, it was going to be him. And shoot, what an unbelievable story. And then, that's the other thing. You talk to guys about being able to play through, bumps and bruises that happen through, you don't, as a player, right, you're never going to feel as good as you feel day one of training camp. And to be able to play through the bumps and bruises of things, like, and being able to put that tape on and go, hey, this guy had this, and now look, he's playing this many weeks later, this many months later. Like, I mean, he said he gets you so many examples to be able to show the team. And, I'm hoping all the coaches over the entire country are showing Brandon Graham clips, because – man, what great example he can be to all the entire youth playing football.
Well, Coach, I know it's been a short off season for you. You've been back at work. Seems like you guys are focused and getting ready for the 2025 season. I know you guys want to move past last year, but for us out here, we're still enjoying it, being two-time champions, and we haven't had the chance to congratulate you personally from this show, and thank you for the job you did all year long as head coach of this football team and bringing the second Super Bowl title here, man. So congratulations, well deserved. You've had a wonderful career so far, man. We're looking forward to a bunch of great more years with you as head coach.
I appreciate that, guys. I do. I know you're not asking me, but I'm going to give him my last BG. I came in with some BG stories.
Oh, yeah. Come on with it.
I'm going to give him. The other thing that about him, like, is he always found a way to celebrate other people's success with him, right? Whether that's, Sweaty getting a sack and him wiping off his brow like Sweaty does. You put on a sweaty sack, I guarantee you BG's doing that, as he's talking trash to the other team. Like, so I guarantee you that's happening when Sweaty, whether it's Nolan and his celebration, he was just always there for his guys to celebrate their greatness. And what gives me goosebumps, even saying this right now, and I got goosebumps because I love this stuff, is that anytime he would get a sack, you saw everybody also do celebrating his greatness and do his in his BG dance, which I'm doing. I know you can't see, but I'm doing it right now in my office as I sit here and think about it. But that's, I mean, we could go on and on all day about BG, but that I always love that about him and the way he brings people together.
Well, Coach, you know what's even better than having two Super Bowls? Three. So we're looking forward to next season, man.
All right, guys. Hey,
thank you, Coach.
All right, Coach.
There he is, Coach Nick Sirianni. It happened at some point midway through last year. I don't remember when it was. I'd have to go back to the shows. But, man, I'm a Sirianni guy. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville. It's BG Live Day for the it's BG Day. BG Live is tonight. We are at the BG Live pre-party. Brought to you by Miller Lite, Miller Lite Specials. This food looks serious here.
It's good
food. By the way. Yeah,
good
like,
food.
You, you can
good
tell,
eats.
You know.
Justin's here.
Justin's always here. And joining us now for BG Day, former BG teammate. And I'm sorry, man, you're a podcaster now. You're not a former player. Chris Long joins us. How's it feel to be one of us, podcaster guy?
Man, you guys had it harder than I thought. This is not as easy as it looks. So, you know.
Well, you seem to be doing a pretty good job at it, brother. You're doing a great job at it.
I appreciate it. I'm hanging in, man. You know, this time of year, it's nice to have a BG day because there's not much to talk about, is there, in the NFL some of these days. But,
man. Learning that, too.
But it's been good. Thank you.
Chris, you only played here a couple years, but you do feel like when I think now I'm in Philadelphia, but I think about Chris Long, I was like, that guy's an Eagle. Like, definitely an Eagle. Like, what do you think it is about you and about the town that, like, sort of connected in a way that you're remembered here and you identify with the place as if you were here longer than you were?
Well, a couple things. I mean, it's hard to fake loving a place the way I just love Philly. Like, from the minute we pulled up, it's also right place, right time, too, you know. There's a number of us on that team that are going to be remembered a great deal for our contribution to the Eagles, and they might have been small contributions or they might have been quick stops. You know, there's a lot of legendary Eagles that I look back on and think are way more Eagles than I am. But, you know, I was just lucky enough to be there for a couple of years when things were going well. And we just had a special team, man. You know, I think back, you know, I was just looking at the team last year, winning the whole thing, and you know, people ask us who's the better team, and to me, it's not even a conversation. Like, that team was so talented this year, it made a lot of sense that they went out and won the Super Bowl. And you know, you think back to our team, and you know, I don't know if I would have been able to call that. It was just such a magical ride, and it all came together, and it was about the people, man. And I think also, I was just so lucky. It's one of the biggest privileges of my life to be able to share that experience with people who have been waiting a lot longer than I had. You know, I had been waiting to be on a winning team before I went to New England the year prior for, you know, 8-9 years of my career, and now I'm getting a chance to win, and it felt like an eternity. But for Eagles fans to wait that long to win a Super Bowl, right, haven't seen all those amazing players, guys that were way better than us and way more Eagles than we were just lucky to be there, right place, right time. And I love the city, and for me, you know, 8 years in St. Louis, we don't have a team there anymore, so naturally, I think I needed a home base, and it's not like I tried to make it my home base. It just kind of became the home base for me and my family.
Chris, you also did some great things. I don't want this to go unnoticed, or people just may not remember because we're far removed from it. But besides what you did on the field contributing, you were also impactful and significant off the field during that time. We're talking about social injustice going on during that time. You certainly supported that cause arm in arm with your teammates. Also, what you did with charities locally, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you played a year where you donated every game check. Like, you may have played a year for free, right?
Yeah, I did, man. And you know how this is, man. Yeah. I mean, money
That's
drives
awesome.
You to a certain – well, thank you so much. And money drives you to a certain extent. Like, certainly there was very early in my career, like – getting drafted, old CBA, being top five, that sort of thing. Like, you know, I worked really hard for that. And when I came on the scene, my mind quickly shifted to, like, cementing a legacy, trying to be the best I can be on the field. Like, it wasn't really about the money for me. I was extremely blessed and fortunate to be, you know, one of the guys that got paid early. And then I got my second contract, you know, played really well in St. Louis and got my second contract. And then to me, I'm like, listen, how much money did I really show up to this thing trying to make in my life? You know, like I'm not playing for money at this point. I'm playing for fulfillment, a chance to win. And that's why I always took less money later in my career, those two opportunities I had when I finally got to free agency at 31 years old. You know, it was all about handicapping, getting a chance to play somewhere that was going to give me the best chance to win. And that's why I went to New England. And then once I won a Super Bowl, it was like, okay, now I'm really playing with house money, where I've fed my family, I've provided for my family, I have a ring. I want to go somewhere and have fun and play the style of football that I'm accustomed to playing in a 4-3, pin your ears back, attack, play physical. And what I quickly found, you know, when I showed up was not only, hey, there were a lot of real conversations going on that I was involved in, but also it's just a city that, like, it's a magnetic place where you want to do good for the city and you want to pay it forward and you want to meet the fans halfway on that stuff. I mean, for me, I kind of went back and forth on, do I want to publicize playing for free, giving up my game checks, because I didn't want to be the look at me guy. But, you know, I was able to donate my salary, and the fans in Philly, and this is what's so cool about it, who had just met me, you know, they decided to meet me halfway and double our investment in educational equity. And, you know, we're still working hard in that space. And I like to think it kind of started, you know, officially in Philly. And so I'm just so appreciative of the opportunity to do that, and also the fans kind of getting behind it and making it. You know, I wouldn't have been real excited about it if it was just me donating my money. But we turned it into a fundraising opportunity, and fans doubled our investment. So it was a no-brainer doing it. And it kind of was one of those things where I wasn't sure that I wanted to play anymore. It was like I was getting to that point in my career where I was like, well, let me give myself something to really motivate myself just in case I show up and I don't love football anymore. Because, you know, every summer is different when you get in your 30s. You're like, I don't know what it's going to be like. So, you know, I showed up to camp and fell in love with the place and was able to donate the salary. And it was just a magical year, man.
Former Eagle Chris Long with us. No, this is we're in May. Did you hear that? This is just May.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when it is. Yeah.
So, Brandon Graham, you know, what do you remember about BG just as a teammate?
One of the best teammates I ever had. And, like, still one of those people, you know, I called him, like, maybe 10 days ago just to check in, and he pick up the phone, second, third ring, whatever it is. Like, he's just the same guy. Like, he doesn't change. He's had a lot of success in the 6 or so years, I can't believe it, since we stopped playing on the same team, and just watching him. And guys like Kelsey and, like, just enjoy this elevated level of fame and notoriety and success. They don't change, which is so cool. And that's why I think, like, Philly loves BG, is because he's the same guy. Like, he's always the same guy. He was the same guy every day when he showed up to work. Consistent, consistently joyful, consistently brought the positive energy. You know, like, even when he was talking trash to people, which he's well known for, like, there was a tinge of, like, I'm having fun. You know, and guys would be like, I don't know how to take this guy. You know, like, he's kind of funny, but he's telling me he's going to run me over. And that was just the kind of guy he was. And, man, like, my favorite thing, like, if somebody's always like, hey, what's the thing you remember most about BG? I remember that he used to put his pads on and his football pants on, like, at 7 a.m. Like, we'd have an afternoon practice. And, you know, guys get in at 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m., get breakfast, film, tape. You've got meetings for hours before we go out. We're going to be in the lunchroom, the whole thing. Most guys get, you know, dressed for practice an hour before practice. This dude was dressed like it was the first tryout of his life for Pee Wee football, sitting in his locker, eating, of course, at 7 a.m. With some big breakfast, and he's got all his pads on already. And we're like, BG, what are you doing, bro? But, like, he was not only just a quirky, funny dude, but he was just a great teammate. And in my experience, like, if there was no BG, there was no Chris Long those couple years. And, like, and for me, I was a small part of the story, but it's a huge part of my life. playing in Philly, and I don't have that experience if it's not for BG saying, hey, I'll kick inside because I know you can rush the edge real well. Even at my age, you know, I was a left end, and, you know, so is BG, but BG's a really good inside rusher as well. So BG was willing to kind of be the team guy and move around for, you know, a veteran who came in, and I'm a good player in my own right, but you know, a lot of guys might not want to do that. And, you know, it wasn't just BG. Like, playing with next to Fletch was amazing. Like, those guys were all just unselfish people, and BG was second to none. The only time me and BG ever got into it in my entire life, I tell this story a lot, was when we were arguing over who had to rush over Tyron Smith in Dallas. we both wanted to rush over the right tackle, and there was a key moment in the game late where we were both lined up over the right tackle, and it kind of turned into a chicken situation where it was like, are we really, when the ball snapped, both going to be over here? Like, and at the very last minute, I think it was BG or maybe it was me, I just sprinted over and got a rush in on Tyron Smith, but that was the only time we ever kind of like argued over anything. He was just that kind of teammate, and we laugh about that to this day, like two guys standing over, you know, Aaron Steele or whoever it was. But that's how good Tyron Smith was. And BG was a great teammate, man. Just moved up and down the line to accommodate whoever it was. And he was a great football player because he really could do a couple jobs on the defensive line. Like, and what I loved about his game was, you know, he might not have been the guy who was going to lead the league in sacks, you know, but he was the guy that was going to get consistent pass rush wherever he lined up, and he was going to get consistent negatives in the run game. You know, he was one of the most disruptive run players I ever played with. And yeah, he's very strong, but he's really crafty. And obviously great energy. And like, there's nothing I respect more than a guy playing late into his 30s, right? Like, it's the hardest league in the world to play in as you age. And he found a way to play, honestly, some of his best ball down the stretch this last season. I think the game he got hurt in, the Rams game, he was playing the best game I've seen him play since we played together, I thought. Yeah. And he's played some good ball. So just went out on top, was able to battle back, play in the Super Bowl. Like, what a legend, man. I mean, he's just one of a kind.
Chris, I think sometimes, right, we play the game and we play the game because we love the game. And fans, you know, they watch us play and they all wish they could be in that position and playing as long as anybody could ever play. But talk about playing this game when you do get into your 30s and the motivation you have to have. I know when I turned 32, 33, I was already thinking about radio. I was like, man, guys. But for him, and even you played long in your career. I mean, to be a defensive lineman and still have the energy and the drive to want to do it. I'm not so sure he doesn't still think he can play, Chris. Hey, he may still in the back of his mind feel like, I got another year in me at least. But
we got to talk to BG and say, hey, man, like, even the great ones give it up at some point. But,
right.
But, like, you know, it is hard. I retired
at 34. Physical demand. Yeah, the physical demand on your body.
Yes, it is a big demand. And you know, like, I don't know, everybody's body changes different times in the NFL. Like, you know, I got IR'd late in my 20s, 2 years in a row, and I lost a couple steps. And, you know, I could still play at a high level, but I wasn't going to be the guy I was anymore. And you know, there's a learning curve to where you have to tailor your game to the current set of circumstances. And a lot of that is dictated by what do you have. And, like, BG's game aged really well because he played with power, right? Like, we all played with power. Like, I played with power. But, like, BG had great leverage, played with power, played with technique. So his game was able to age, like, well into his late 30s, like 36 or whatever he is now.
Yeah.
You know, and having experience, like, playing 33 to retiring at 34, like, I think I could have gone a few more years, but it's not easy day to day. And BG, to actually go out and do it, and, like, and be, I'd be, there'd be days I'd be sitting there on a Wednesday, like, just with my feet kicked up, like, man, I'm glad I'm not doing a Wednesday practice right now. And I would think about BG and his old ass. And I'd be like, dude, I cannot believe he's out there right now. He's probably got his football pants, you know, he's probably got his football pants on at 7 in the morning, you know, with a smile on his face and hyping the young guys up. And you know, like, you need vets. And I don't know that they, I mean, obviously he contributed on the field, but they definitely don't win a Super Bowl without that veteran in the D-line room. Because the D-line room turned out to be a real showcase spot for them this year. And there were a lot of young guys on that group and guys that needed development and needed to understand how to rush together, how to play together, how to be pros. And when you looked at that room, there weren't a lot of vets. So he did some heavy lifting, man, to be able to get those guys where they needed to be. And so not only the physical part of it, you know, waking up every day, being in pain, you know, waking up every day, knowing you're not fast anymore, knowing you might have lost a step, knowing that, like, hey, everything hurts. But then there's also the, like, in the midst of all that, to be able to bring the energy and the juice and the leadership as your snaps are getting cut into, as you're having to deal with the politics upstairs. And I don't mean, like, I'm talking about just, like, NFL politics,
yeah,
where, you know, there's younger players, they want to push them along, you know, the whole thing. So you got to be patient. You have to have a great attitude, and you have to take care of your body and be a hard worker and be a technician. And he's all those things.
Well, we can confirm Coach Sirianni about less than an hour ago, we had him on, and he told the same 7 a.m. fully dressed BG story still mm-hmm. went on this past year. So yeah. In his 15th season, he was still doing it.
There's no fixing BG, bro.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate you. Congratulations on your transition over to one of us as a podcaster.
Hey, I'm trying. Thank you. I'm still working on it. But I yeah. appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for joining us,
Thank
bro.
You. There he is. Anytime. Thanks, Chris. There he is, Chris Long. That was great, man.